Hey, Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Aja Tama Iti. Tisra Sura Nri Naraka Tatra Api Ekai Kasha Rajan Vidyante Gataya Trida Yada Ekai Katara Anyabhyam Swa Bhava Upahanyate Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Chitra Sura Nrila Naraka Tadrap Ye Kai Kasho Rajan Vidyante Gatayastrida Yadai kai kataram yabhyam Sabhava upahanyate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the different modes of material nature, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of darkness, there are different living creatures who are known as demigods, human beings, and hellish living entities. O King, even a particular mode of nature, being mixed with the other two, is divided into three. And thus, each kind of living creature is influenced by the other modes and acquires its habits also. Purport. The living entities individually are being conducted by a particular mode of nature. But at the same time, there is every chance of their being influenced by the other two. Generally, all conditioned souls in the material world, in material engagement, are influenced by the mode of passion, because every one of them is trying to lord it over the material nature to fulfill his individual desire. But in spite of the individual mode of passion, there is always a chance of being influenced by the other modes of nature by association. If one is in good association, he can develop the mode of goodness. And if in bad association, he may develop the mode of darkness or ignorance. Nothing is stereotyped. One can change his habit by good or bad association, and one has to become intelligent enough to discriminate between good and bad. The best association is the service of the devotees to the Lord, and by that association, one can become the highest qualified man by the grace of the Lord's pure devotees. As we have already seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni, he became the topmost devotee of the Lord simply by association of the pure devotees to the Lord. By birth, he was the son of a maidservant and had no knowledge of his father and no academic education, even of the lowest status. But simply by associating with devotees and by eating the remnants of their foodstuff, he gradually developed the transcendental qualities of the devotees. By such association, his taste for chanting and hearing, transcendental glories of the Lord became prominent. Because the glories of the Lord are none different from the Lord, he got direct association with the Lord by means of sound representation. Similarly, there is the life of Ajamil, 6th canto. He was the son of a brahmana and was educated and trained properly in the discharge of the duties of a brahmana. But who, in spite of all this, became, because he contacted the bad association of a prostitute, was put into the path of the lowest quality of chandala, or the last position for human being. Therefore, the Bhagavatam always recommends the association of the Mahat, or the great soul, for opening the gate of salvation. To associate with persons engaged in lording it over the material world, beings who enter into the darkest region of hell, one should try to raise himself by the association of the great soul. That is the way of the perfection of life. Satranajastamaiti tisra suranri naraka tadrapye kaikashorajan vidyante gatiyasvida yadaikai katarom yavyam svabhava upahanyate. According to the different modes of material nature, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of darkness, there are different living creatures who are known as demigods, human beings, and hellish living entities. O King, even a particular mode of nature, being mixed with the other two, is divided into three, and thus each kind of living creature is influenced by the other modes and acquires its habits also. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivari Paskatya Deva Siddharna. Here it explains that the soul and conditioned life is influenced by three modes of nature. As it says in Bhagavad Gita, Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas, Iti, Guna, Prakriti, Sambhava, Nibandanti, Mahabaho, Dehe, Dehinam, Avya. That material nature consists of three modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. And all of us have experience of these three modes. As a matter of fact, generally, in conditioned life, one has only experience of these three modes. So, we should be quite familiar with them. One mode is called ignorance. Just like we look around the room, generally during class, and we see different manifestations of the mode of ignorance. Generally, the symptoms are the eyes are closed, but not in meditation. Or a kind of meditation, but not Krishna conscious meditation. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us symptoms of the mode of ignorance, how they develop, what they are, how they develop. For instance, he says, aprakasho pravritis cha pramado moha eva cha virjasyetani tamaso viride kurunandana. So aprakasho means that there's no illumination. We close our eyes, but we don't become illuminated. We see just darkness. That's called aprakasho. And apravriti, there's no correct activity, there's inaction. If the devotee doesn't move after some time, then you know that they're in the mode of ignorance. They don't respond. Even you call out their name during class, and they don't respond. It's not generally because they're in trance. And pramado, madness. You ask for a reason, and there is for something, and one gives something which is completely absurd. Why did you do this? Because the stars are falling. Well, how do you know the stars are falling? Because the sun rose today. So this is called pramada. There's no connection, there is no proper association with things. Avacha. So these are some of the symptoms that the mode of ignorance is developing. We're in the mode of ignorance, therefore we're falling asleep, we're inactive, we can't associate things properly, we mix everything up. And what is the result? Mode of ignorance is developing. So as Krishna says, to give a little bit more, he says, Satvat sanjayate jnana rajaso lova evacha pramado moha tamaso bhavatam jnana evacha. From knowledge, from jnana, or from the working in the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From working in the mode of passion, greed develops. From the mode of ignorance come madness, indolence, and sleep. Foolishness, madness, and indolence. And what is the result of knowledge? karmana sukritasyahu satikam nirmalam palam radasasti palam dukam agyana tamasa palam. If we work in knowledge, real knowledge, based upon spiritual understanding that we're spiritual souls with consciousness and that we want to become free from the other modes of nature which bewilder our proper understanding of ourselves and the situation that we're surrounded by. And what is that knowledge? Knowledge that leads to real happiness, real freedom from distress, real freedom from misery. That's real knowledge. And from that comes purity. If we actually have knowledge, then we should become purified, namely the other two modes of nature. And what are the other two modes of nature? From greed. If we work in passion, greed develops. And what happens when we become greedy? We become distressed. We become dissatisfied. Because one can never satisfy greed. It simply increases more and more, and it burns more and more, Krishna says, and gradually it develops into ignorance. And what is the primary symptom of foolishness, madness, and indolence? One becomes more foolish. So, proper understanding of these modes is given in Bhagavad Gita, and we all have experience like that. If we're not greedy, we're not lusty, we're not angry, we're not foolish, then we're peaceful. And if one is any of the above, how can one be peaceful? Therefore, the idea is how to develop the higher modes. If that's our objective. Of course, nowadays, people are thinking they'll be happy by becoming greedy. They'll be happy by getting more and more. So go to America and see how happy the people are right now. As soon as one gets more and more, then one is always in anxiety. Someone will come and take it away. Someone wants what I have, and therefore they'll try and come here. So therefore we have to maintain so many facilities in order to protect what we have. But in order to maintain all these facilities, protect what we have and keep what we have, so much anxiety, so much misery has to go into it. And even what we have, after a while, doesn't really satisfy us. We need something new. It's not that now they have computers and they're satisfied. No, they always need new computers, faster computers. And after they reach a certain level, they can't get any faster or bigger or smarter or whatever, then they throw them out because it doesn't satisfy them anymore. They always need something new. And when you can't get something new, then you become dissatisfied. And the satisfaction of having something new only lasts for a few moments anyhow, because after a few moments it's not new anymore. And then, eventually, one becomes dissatisfied, frustrated, and one will, in order to satisfy frustration, one has to do something which is undesirable. If one cannot tolerate one's frustrations, then being covered by the modes of material nature, one does something foolish, and the result of doing something foolish is that one becomes more foolish. To the point that we can see in modern society, people do so many foolish things that don't benefit themselves or anyone else, but in spite of that, do they learn from doing something foolish? No, they become more foolish. Therefore the question is how to develop the higher modes. So in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunan Karna Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmisu. That the living entities in this material world carry their different conceptions of life. Prakriti Purusham Chaiva. Living entities in this material world thus follow the ways of life, trying to enjoy the three modes of nature. So, if you haven't noticed, that's what we're trying to enjoy, these three modes. If we're in gross material ignorance, then generally our real pleasure is if we feel sleepy. We actually become inspired that now I feel tired and I'm actually going to become peaceful for a while by going to sleep. Or if I can do something crazy, then I'll feel satisfied. That will actually make me feel better. If I can take some intoxication, or if I can, I mean, who can list the crazy things that people can do? Jump off a bridge with a rope. Then I'll feel good. I'll satisfy my craziness. I'm in control. No one else is as crazy as I am. People feel proud. No one is doing as crazy a thing as I am. Otherwise, they go to these amusement parks and get on these rides, and afterwards they, you know, anything they ate is, they can't hold it down. And they feel good about it. And then they brag about it. I did something crazier than anyone else ever has done before. Eating bicycles or eating cars or just something crazy. And the mode of passion where one is simply hankering, increasing one's hankering for material enjoyment. Of course, mode of passion means generally, real mode of passion means I'm gratifying my senses or making plans to do it according to some regulated fashion. That I want enjoyment and I'm following some systematic procedure in order to enjoy. Otherwise, it's the mode of ignorance. Just to do things whimsically without any system is just the mode of ignorance. So I'm trying to enjoy the material world in a way that's actually enjoyable. Not that I stick pins through my tongue and that's the mode of passion. No, that's the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion means there's some regulation. And when one advances further into the mode of goodness, then one can actually see things properly. That I'm not this body, and therefore whatever arrangement I make for bodily happiness won't actually make me happy. It may temporarily satisfy the demands of the body, but it may not make me happy. So that's possible to arrive at, but that's called trying to enjoy the modes of nature. So the problem with the mode of goodness is that one thinks oneself to be better than everyone else. You see everyone else working hard for happiness and being in misery, and others simply being in misery and getting into more misery. So one thinks oneself superior to everyone else in the mode of goodness. Although one is also a conditioned soul, suffering the same threefold miseries as everyone else, but still one is thinking that my miseries are superior to everyone else's misery. That I have good misery and everyone else has bad misery. So that's called the mode of goodness. So the idea is not to purusha prakritisto hi bhunte, enjoy the material world. That's what everyone is doing. Bhunte prakriti jaraganai. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakriti jarakarna guna sangasya. This is due to association with this material nature. Karna means the cause of all this is guna sangha. Sangha, association with these modes, and sad asad. Therefore, sometimes we're in ignorance, sometimes passion, sometimes goodness, generally a combination of the three modes. Sada yoni. And because we are in association with these three modes, yonis, janisu. Therefore, we have to take birth in different species of life. Sometimes fortunate species, sometimes unfortunate species. But after all, according to the Bhagavatam, any birth in this material world is an unfortunate situation. Therefore, in Bhagavatam, it doesn't advise association with any of the modes. Of course, goodness is appreciated more than passion or ignorance, but goodness in itself, simply understanding that I'm not this body and how foolish everyone else is, won't bring us to the goal. Instead, satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam katha tajoshavara ashvava varga vartmani Shararatir Bhaktir Anukramishati. Instead, association with the devotees is recommended. Those who are singing the glories of Krishna and his associates. Then, of course, one may wonder, why is it that we bother talking about the lower modes of nature? Why not just talk about Krishna's pastimes? Because the fact is, these modes of nature are also Krishna's pastimes. And this is the pastime we're most familiar with. Why talk about a pastime we wouldn't have very much faith in or very much understanding how to participate in? We can talk about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in the Rasa dance and how Srimati Radharani is dancing at an inconceivable pace and different varieties of tunes are being played and melodies, and they're all singing simultaneously, completely in harmony, all 10 billion gopis who are participating in the Rasa dance. So it sounds very nice, but we have no understanding how we could participate in such a thing. But there are the present lila that we're taking place in, and that's in the material world here. So as soon as we can understand, practically speaking, how this is also one of Krishna's lilas or pastimes, and how everyone is participating in different ways, then that's our most easy access to Krishna consciousness. And as soon as we access Krishna consciousness, then we actually become liberated from all material conceptions of life. So, therefore it says in the Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam, that for the conditioned soul, it's much more valuable hearing about Krishna's pastimes in this material world than hearing about Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Not that we're against Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Just like if one is in the first grade learning arithmetic, it's not that the students are being taught that it's bad to study advanced algebra. Oh, you shouldn't do that, that's Maya. Shouldn't study advanced algebra. No, but advanced algebra is appreciated, and those who are actually expert in advanced algebra, they're also appreciated. But in the first grade, it's more valuable to learn 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 than to learn advanced algebra. Similarly, until we actually become liberated from these material conceptions of life that we're attached to. Liberated means material world exists simply according to our attachment to the modes of nature. So when we learn the art of becoming disentangled from these modes of nature, then the result is that we can actually concentrate our minds upon Krishna and naturally certain attraction for Krishna's different pastimes will be manifested. Will automatically arise within us, that there's no need for separately trying to acquire an attraction for a certain type of association with Krishna. Just like if a 3-year-old child is trying to be encouraged to associate in a romantic way with a other 3-year-old child, it just won't work. Maybe Kali Yuga might work eventually, but... No, it's all right. After the end of question. In other words, in the course of time when the children develop, naturally these things will develop. There's no need at an immature stage to try to artificially develop these things. But certainly our natural attraction for Krishna and a certain rasa will develop at a certain time when our natural Krishna consciousness awakens. So our Krishna consciousness doesn't awaken because our attraction to material energies is already fully manifested. Our attraction to the modes of nature is fully manifested. It is not that love or attraction will be manifested later on at some stage. No, it's already manifested. We're already in love with the material energy in so many different ways. Therefore, simultaneously with killing, use that word, to diminishing our love or our attraction to material energy, simultaneously has to go on with our developing of attraction for Krishna consciousness. If we're factually developing our attraction for Krishna consciousness, then practically speaking, our attraction to the material energy will diminish. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rajas tamas vibhuya satvam bhavati bharata, rajas satvam tamas chaiva, tamas satvam rajas tata. If one develops a mode of goodness, naturally the modes of ignorance and passion diminish. And if one develops passion, naturally goodness and ignorance diminish. And if one develops ignorance, naturally goodness and passion diminish. And this way there's always a competition for supremacy. The problem is that the modes of nature we're situated under are so variegated, so mixed up, we don't know what's happening. We don't know how we're drifting from one mode to the nature to the next. What's causing it? Seemingly, causelessly, we're going from ignorance to passion to goodness to passion, everything's so mixed up, we don't know what's going on. Therefore, one has to develop goodness. Only in goodness can we actually understand gradually what's actually going on. What's causing me from manifesting from one moment to the next goodness, passion, or ignorance? Only in goodness can we understand that. And goodness is most easily developed through association with the devotees. Mahat Sevam, Dwaram, Ahur, Vimoktex. Because pure goodness is the best way of getting goodness. Associating with pure goodness is the best way of coming at least to the real platform of goodness. And then eventually accepting fully pure goodness. If we put the iron to the fire, certainly get hotter. But if we keep on taking it out of the fire, certainly it'll cool down after some time. So one moment we're in the Bhagavatam class, everything is clear, enlightened, I'm determined. And the next moment, I'm bewildered. How did that happen? Because our mind says, you know, all right, that was a great class, Krishna's God, you're going back home, but, you know, you gotta do something practical. You gotta eat. You gotta enjoy. There's so many things to do in the material world. You got so many plans. Don't give them up. Where will you be? You'll be out in the street starving. This is not meant for you. You're not so advanced. This is not really. This is. He was talking about the great sages that lived thousands of years ago. Not the devotees who live in Kali Yuga. Devotees who live in Kali Yuga, mode of goodness? Oh, come on. Where is this manifested? Little passion and ignorance is not so bad. It's normal. It's natural. Don't be artificial. And we get a little sidelong glance from one of the opposite sex and we think, yeah, that's confirmation. That felt good, didn't it? So in this way, we're putting the iron to the fire, it's getting a little hot, and we're quickly withdrawing it. Oh boy, it got too hot. Too quick, slow up, it's a gradual process. You can't understand what bad good is unless you taste a little bad. So goodness means we stop taking the iron out of the fire. We leave it there. And then it actually gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and eventually we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So, in the association of those who sattam, who are interested in developing the eternal, we can make some progress. Sattam prasanga, mama virya samvido. And what are the sattams, those who are interested in the eternal? They talk about Krishna, and about his pastimes both in this material world and the spiritual world. Mama virya bhavanti. So what will happen? Bhavanti means what will happen, and bhavanti is in the plural. Bhavanti, rit, the heart, karna, and the tongue. What's that?
Ear.
Yeah, the ear, I'm sorry, the ear. Karna is the ear. So the, gradually the heart will become cleansed, and it'll feel good. It's not that we feel good by developing the mode of passion and ignorance. No, we feel good, we feel relieved when we develop the mode of goodness. The heart becomes purified and feels good. And it becomes pleasing to the ear. Generally, things that puff up our false ego, that feels good at first, but at the end it feels very bad. And sometimes things feel bad at the beginning and at the end. But sometimes we hear about austerity. Like if we said today is Bhima Kadasi. Everyone's going to fast from water and everything. How many devotees would go, Ja! No, it would sound very bad. We think, oh God, what are they talking about? You know, they're torturing it. No, it'd feel very painful for the ear. And we said, today's a feast, and all we're going to do is eat all day and sleep.
Die! I just had that for you.
Then everyone feels quite enlivened, you know. Wow, that sounds great. What a great day. So that which in the beginning and at the end may be different. Beginning may sound like poison, but at the end is like nectar. Or maybe in the beginning, that's called mode of goodness. Or in the beginning may sound like nectar, but at the end it becomes like poison. Or poison in the beginning and poison at the end. That's mode of ignorance. Therefore, the idea is that by association with devotees, hearing about Krishna's glories, we can probably understand what's good and what's bad, and then become enthusiastic to do something which is for our ultimate benefit, called shreyas, rather than for our immediate benefit, or liking, called prayas. And what are the symptoms? And if we don't follow that system, then tamo dwaram yoshita sanghi sangam. Then we go to hell. That's the destination. And what is that hell? Yoshita. Association with the opposite sex, or simply association with others to gratify our senses. Simply association for our own personal sense gratification. And that will simply increase more and more our false ego, more and more absorption of material energy, more and more our attraction and aversion towards different material energies, and ultimately complete absorption of material consciousness and fear of death and so much pain and misery. Yoshita sanghi sangha sangha. And either association with others for sense gratification or association with those who are attached to sense gratification, and this way we'll become inspired to become another sense gratifier. Mahantas te sama chitak vimanya vimanyavasurida saravaya. So, there are symptoms, there are qualities that are developed when we get proper association. We develop the same qualities of the person we're associating with. We become free from anger, we become vimanyavasurida, a well-wisher of others, saravaya, titikshva, karunaka, surida saradehina. We become tolerant, first one's mentioned. Tolerance is a very essential quality. Not that anyone who's not like me, I don't like. Anyone who doesn't like the same things I don't like them. Anyone, you know, those who like me, who like the same things I like, then I like them. So this is called titikshava, toleration, karunaka, and merciful. Surida sarvadehina, and liking all other living entities. So if we get the proper association, then we develop the proper qualities, then it'll be very easy to fix our mind upon Krishna and associate with Krishna in factual, or in other words, to be factually conscious of Krishna. And if we become factually conscious of Krishna, then we become blissful, because Krishna is all blissful, all his associates are blissful, their loving exchanges are blissful, and because we have a propensity or an ability or a natural inherent quality of also manifesting the same loving feelings that the residents Vrindavan have. Therefore, in the proper association, these natural feelings of love towards Krishna and his associates will awaken, will develop. Just like fire and smoke. In the beginning, there may be just a little bit of fire and a lot of smoke, but if the fire is handled carefully, then gradually it'll develop into a full fire and the smoke will disappear. By the process of Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti, will develop naturally Raganuga Bhakti if it's properly followed. If we follow the process properly, then our natural love for Krishna, spontaneous love for Krishna, will awaken. Not this hopeless, helpless, hopeless endeavor, as our minds will tell us, that you tried, you were in the mode of goodness for 15 minutes, and now you're in the mode of ignorance, and this is now your constitutional position. There's no hope for you. Forget it. this is your eternal position. Only some very rare special souls go back to the spiritual world, if there's such a world at all. For you, you're meant to be eternally in hell, the material world. So get accustomed to it and enjoy it. Get into it. Don't do it half-heartedly. Get completely absorbed in hell, and then you'll enjoy it. So this is called Yoga Chalati Manasa. The mind will always try to dissuade us from making progress. Will always convince us that it was just an illusion. Your progress was just an illusion. This is reality. Get smart, kid, and wake up and go to sleep. But if we develop the proper association, we hear in the right way from the right persons, and we follow the process sincerely with the right understanding, the only result is we can actually get factual experience of what Krishna consciousness is supposed to be. Then it becomes not just a theory, but a practical reality, and then we can appreciate all the different things that previously, theoretically, we were hearing about. They actually become experienced. I think I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Practice. Practice the right thing. The more we can focus our mind upon Krishna, the more we can do it lovingly, then by that we become purified. And as we become purified, then we can become steady. Then the forces that are dragging us away from Krishna will diminish. So the solution to all the problems is somehow or another put our attention upon Krishna in the mood of devotion. And as Krishna purifies us, then the forces that drag us away from Krishna will diminish. So we should become very happy when we get association with Krishna and his devotees, because that means our gate to liberation is opening. And we should be very cautious and take shelter of Krishna and his devotees when we get in association with things which are not so Krishna conscious. And here in Kali Yuga, these things are proliferated. If you want to be in Maya, somehow or another, you can be in Maya even in the midst, you know, of devotees. Go on the internet. You can go all over the world, from heaven to hell, just get on the internet. On your computer, you can have your own special section just for Maya. Whenever you feel like being in Maya, just, you know, boot up your computer. You're right there. So everything's possible in Kali Yuga. So we have to be cautious, especially when we're in association with the material energy, that we take shelter of Krishna and his devotees, if we have to be that in association. Not that, let me try it out, I have my own special Maya that I just can't give up. Let me see if I can be in Maya in a special Krishna conscious way. Have the best of both worlds. I'll enjoy my Maya, but I'll do it in Krishna consciousness. No, that's practically bordering on one of the fences, committing sin on the strength of chanting. So we should understand that we have to choose between Krishna and Maya. We have our own special Maya, which is not really Maya because it's our Maya. We should take shelter of Krishna, and if we do that, then sincerely take shelter of Krishna, making some advancement, then advancement of Krishna consciousness means becoming more steady, automatically. Causeless knowledge and detachment will come. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.